Yes.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Karina Morrison, and you are listening to Shop Local for Good News. Tonight's show is about empowering your family's business. We are also live on the Shop Local for Good Facebook page. So if you are tuning in for the replay and you'd like to see us, see what we look like, you can go over to our Shop Local for Good Facebook page and find us on our live video. We have a great guest tonight with the Emory Advisory Group. We have David Emory, that's the group, the company, and Michael Berger, who was a neighbor of mine at the former office I was in, our retail space. So, and Michael, you and David have a seminar coming up tomorrow evening, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I've worked with new business owner David. We worked in another company, and we set LLCs and corporations for people and talked to them about their tax structures and how many people that we talk to that, you know, were doing things wrong. They easy education, a lot of people could save a lot of money in taxes, and then went to work for David at another company, and we started talking to people about business credit, and at that company, David decided that he was going to do that on his own, because we all like helping, you know, people understand, not really loopholes, but what's available to them, because it's available to everyone.
Right. Here. And unlike the larger corporations that have teams of lawyers, small businesses don't necessarily have access to those tools, so you're providing those tools to them.
Right. What we like to say that we do, we provide a similar type of service that a larger corporation would receive, had an in-house attorney or an in-house accountant that they want staff or on retainer. We can provide similar service and give similar advice and expertise, but when you think about it, a fraction of the cost.
Right. So you offer training on our services on...
Yeah, not only... Definitely training. We definitely offer a lot of education. I'm a firm believer in mentorship. I've had a lot of mentors in my life, and I think that's incredibly important. But even above and beyond that, we offer a lot of practical hands-on financial services as well, like tax preparation and accounting and bookkeeping and things like that. We also do some in-house loan servicing as well. So there's a lot. We're a business development firm. Most business development firms focus on the marketing and the branding of
right.
For a company. We really do very little of that. We do some of that, but it's a very minor portion of our business. We focus on the financial side.
Well, it provides stability for them to have money to have the marketing and the branding.
Right. Marketing. In the red.
Right,
yeah.
Right, exactly.
That's true.
So let's go back a little bit. How did you start in this business, and what drew you to want to help small business owners?
So Michael hinted at it very briefly. We worked for a very large nationwide company that worked with entrepreneurs and mostly startups. So people, a lot of first-time business owners as well.
Oh, wow.
Which was an amazing experience for me. But even before that, I worked for a company before that worked with entrepreneurs. And so I've been doing this for actually close to 15 years.
Wow. And entrepreneurs are a unique breed. They don't usually often the square peg that doesn't fit around.
Special kind of people.
Yeah.
What I have found is the serial entrepreneur who will start 10 businesses.
Oh my gosh, where do you find time to sleep?
Yeah, those people are exciting. But yeah, I do enjoy working with them because they have a passion for what they do that someone who just gets a W-2
right.
Doesn't have. Met Michael, it's been like 6 years or so.
A lot.
7 years almost. I can't remember. We worked for this company with these first, most of them, I would say, first-time business owners. That's fair to say, right?
Yeah.
Like 85, 90%. Yeah. And they were knuckleheads. They didn't understand the difference between a sole proprietorship and an LLC or a corporation, or what makes a C-Corp different than an S-Corp. They didn't understand how they should be paying themselves. They didn't understand the costs involved getting through the first year of owning a business. Working there really proved to me that when you start a business, you are going to make half of what you think, and it's going to cost you twice as much as you think.
Amen.
So these people are going in without business plans, totally unprepared, flying by the seat of their pants, and the accountants in the company that we worked for these clients, they were filing almost as many disillusions as tax returns.
Oh, so sad.
Because people would have this dream, this vision, they would get excited enough to go set up a business,
right,
and seek business advice. And then within a year, they fold, they would fail. And so we were there for a number of years, and I just thought, this is getting depressing. We don't have any repeat customers because they're all going out of business.
Right.
So there's got to be a way, because in speaking with them over the course of the first year that they would be in business, I would usually see them at the very, very beginning. But if I ever did speak to them again down the road, the story was always the same. We just need to get a little cash coming in. If we had a little infusion of cash, we could get over this hump.
Right.
We had some unexpected costs, you know, because they're first-time business owners, and all these things that people like you and I know, this is what's involved in starting a business. To them, it was a surprise.
Right, like all the regulations and all the licensing and
yeah.
all that. Yeah.
Or any number of things.
Right.
You know, that build out that they were going to do for their retail space, that they thought they could do it mostly on their own, but it turns out, no, you do need to hire a contractor.
Oh, no.
All that kind of stuff. So I realized, you know, there's got to be a better way. A lot of them were leveraging their personal credit and really damaging their social security number along the way. You know, they would take a home equity loan or get a personal loan. And now, you know, when I talked to them 10 months ago, they already had $6,000 or $10,000 or $15,000 in startup costs. And then after they do that, after they max out their credit cards, then they get a home equity loan. And now things are getting
bad. Oh, that's sad. Right.
So all these things, you know, and it got frustrating for a lot of us. You know, you could work there and not care, but if you did care, it's hard to work there.
Right.
So as Mike was saying, we both left. We discovered another business development firm, and we worked there very, very briefly because it became clear that even though he had some good ideas, this particular other gentleman that we worked for, he couldn't really execute it.
Okay.
So I did a lot of research. It took about 2 years to hone my craft and figure out how this worked. I spoke with a lot of people at the EBA, a lot of people at Dun & Bradstreet. I made a really good contact with a local business banker here in the Tampa Bay area, and her and I had coffee several times, 5 or 6 times, and tried to figure out why large corporations can post multi-million-dollar losses every year, but everyone still gets a paycheck.
Right.
They'll pay all the bills.
Doesn't make any sense to a small business owner.
All the invoices get paid. But, you know, if a small business owner posts, you know, 2 or 3 weeks in a row of losses, that could be enough to get them to close their doors.
Right.
So cash flow was the magic word I discovered in all my research. And that led me to start my own company and re-advisory group. We've worked with hundreds of clients now, thousands of clients. Very, very blessed. I still get to work with crazy people like me who own businesses, which is very interesting because I started a re-advisory group to help entrepreneurs, but really for 15 years, this is the first time I've been an entrepreneur too.
Okay.
So it's been exciting for me. I've got less than 10 employees right now. But it's very exciting to work with these people who are very, very passionate, be able to help them with their passion projects and see.
It's fun to be around people that are passionate about their mission.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go back. I can never go back to working with a group of people. When you work with entrepreneurs, you catch a fever.
Right.
And you want to work with them better because that's the.
Like my dad, keeps telling me, you know, why don't you get a real job? When you own your own business, you are working it pretty much every waking hour.
Yeah.
And so he just wants me to go back to where I'll have a paycheck. I'm like, okay, I wasn't happy doing that. And even though I'm working really, really, really hard, I'm happy doing what I do. Because I work with small businesses too,
yeah.
Vendors and food trucks. And get some really interesting questions. You're just like, wait, you didn't know that? But that makes me happy because, like I was telling Michael, I invested a lot of money in things that didn't work. And I want to be able to teach people like you how not to have to spend the money on the thing that didn't work.
Yeah. No.
You know what I mean? I want to save you that money.
Yeah, I was thinking the other day, speaking with somebody, I was speaking with a potential client, in a couple of weeks, but he was asking me, what's the biggest value that you could provide me? And I thought about it for a second because he and I had talked for about an hour and a half.
Wow.
He's got some very specific needs. I thought, you know what, man, the number one thing I can provide you, the biggest value that I can provide for your company is not actually anything specific that I'm going to give you. It's right.
Exactly.
It's all mistakes I'm going to keep you from making. Based on what you've told me, like you're gearing up to make some big mistakes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, like when you ask a vendor what your cost of goods are and bill.
Right.
What's a cost?
How do you pay yourself? Oh, I don't include that in the cost. I, you know, I'm like, you're not making any money. You're losing money.
Yeah.
And they don't get that. They pay the vendor fee to go to the event. And if they sell a certain amount, product, they think they've made money. Mm-hmm. I'm like, but how much did it cost you to make that product? And did you pay yourself?
Yeah, if you don't know what your costs are, then you're in trouble.
Yeah.
And if your business isn't making any money, if your business is losing money, unfortunately, that's not really a business. That's more of a hobby. And
right.
There's a big difference between business and a hobby. Hobbies can get very expensive. Your
right.
business should make money. Your business should pay you.
True.
So.
Now, in the beginning, when someone's starting up, at least that's what I'm telling my husband, there are investments they're going to have to make. And as I think, in my personal opinion, I might be wrong, as long as I'm progressing forward and growing my mission in my hobby, I think I started in 2017. I launched Shop Local for Good. It's not what I initially launched it to be. It was, it's supposed to be, and it's going to be one day, where I like to connect people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm connecting small business owners with nonprofits that are mostly volunteer managed.
Yeah, we were talking about this before we got on the air.
Yeah. And then you encourage the people that support that nonprofit to shop local with the small business owner that's supporting them.
Mm-hmm.
So it started out, it was going to be an app. Ugh. And then I found my way into doing market events and festivals, and I like working like you. I like working one-on-one because
yeah.
every one of those marketers are an entrepreneur or small business owner. And, you know, every once in a while they say something and I'm like, no, don't do that.
Yeah.
So you offer seminars in person, and I noticed on your website that you have it, which I like to do because there's times where people don't have time to go to a seminar. You have an online course?
Yeah, I've got a
video.
It's about a 7-hour online course with a 120-page workbook.
Nice.
And all kinds of links and cheat sheets and step-by-step how-to stuff. That's really one of the things that I worked on during those years before I started my company because business credit. Well, let's rewind really quick. You were mentioning that, you know, you've got startup costs. The average business startup doesn't make any money its first year. You know, if you can break even in your first year,
right?
That'd be great. For a lot of people, that would be, they would be excited if they, even if they just broke even.
Yes.
In the first year.
I know my husband would have been.
And as you're in that investment phase in your business where you're still, you know, spending money on things to grow the business, to grow yourself, and you're investing in yourself, you're learning more, you're doing things like buying accounting software and all this other stuff that you never thought of. When
or investing in tents, and so I don't have to rent them for my next festival, that kind of thing.
Or whatever your inventory is for that
widget
that you sell,
right.
You know, whatever it is. During that investment phase, as you're moving forward, one of the things that I learned was that small businesses that utilize and leverage their personal funds and personal credit to do that grow about four times more slowly than businesses that use unsecured business credit or business funds.
Okay.
And there's a study that was done in Forbes last year in February, wrote a really interesting article that I will be speaking about tomorrow at our event.
Awesome.
That kind of explains the science behind why that is. It has to do with how your personal credit is calculated and what goes into factoring that. And Wall Street and the whole financial industry in the United States revolves around personal credit. So business credit and unsecured business funding is a very niche industry. It's very small, but businesses are receiving billions and billions of dollars in funding and credit every year.
Wow.
Most of that money now, since 2008, has shifted from coming from large traditional lenders like your bank to what they call untraditional lenders, which are private lenders, private loan companies, and things like that. It's now, I believe, 93% of all business lending comes from non-traditional lenders.
Okay.
So big banks don't really lend to small business. Those days are kind of gone.
Right.
Well,
the mom and pop bank on the corner is kind of gone.
Yeah.
And that's how they used to, that's where you would go because you knew them, they were your neighbor or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they would loan to you based on your good name.
Yep.
Because they knew you.
Yeah.
And they knew you were good for it. And they didn't even see a business plan or financials.
Right.
Just a handshake. The only real exception to that is the SBA.
Okay.
The SBA still lends, but it's getting harder and harder to get an SBA loan, especially a high dollar amount for the 7A. If you're getting an SBA loan, traditionally, you're getting a 7A loan. That's the product. It's the number one product. I think it's like 85 or something percent of SBA loans are 7A loans.
Okay.
What's
a 7A loan?
It's a type of loan. And again, I'll talk about that more tomorrow too.
Okay. That's good.
The SBA has certain products that they guarantee, and the 7A is the most popular one.
Okay.
It's a business loan. And since 2014, the SBA has been, they've tightened up the rules on how to get an SBA loan for high dollar amounts. So anything over $350,000 has become very difficult to get from the SBA. So you're almost better off going elsewhere.
Right.
There's a formula that they use for pre-qualifying, and we'll talk about that tomorrow too, but the only way that you can get it is to have some type of business credit. You cannot get a loan from the SBA over $350,000 now based solely on your personal credit. So it's almost impossible for a startup to do that.
Right.
Because startups, you don't start business credit. No company does.
No. Now there is a way for you to build your business credit, correct? Apart from your personal credit.
Right. And that's, so let's talk about Dun & Bradstreet as I answer that question.
Okay.
Because Dun & Bradstreet, I have a love-hate relationship with them, but you can't build business credit without Dun & Bradstreet. You can't do it. You can't avoid it. Sometimes I wish you could. But I also appreciate Dun & Bradstreet for what they are. And the way that they have established themselves and allowed you to build your credit separately from your personal credit is very easy, actually. And I appreciate that about them. They don't make it difficult. It's not like your FICO score.
Okay.
Your FICO
score. Kind of like a mystery to most of us.
Yeah.
Right.
Sometimes when you're trying to repair your personal credit, you feel like you're almost damaging it in one way to help it in another way.
Right.
You're just sort of spinning your wheels. Because you've got utilization and credit mix and all the other, there's five factors that make up your FICO score. But with business credit, the only thing that they really care about is if you pay your bills on time.
Okay.
That's really the only criteria. So the nice thing is, if you're in business, you have a tool that no one else has. Because in the United States, there's only two ways to get funding. You can utilize your personal credit, and the only other way is business credit. There's
okay.
nothing else.
And that's kind of what's a mystery to to me. So I would think most entrepreneurs don't know these kind of tools.
So this is kind of an old survey. but it was in 2012, Dun & Bradstreet asked 10,000 small business owners if they knew that they had a separate business credit rating, and 80% said no, they didn't know that. So only 20% of entrepreneurs in 2012 knew that they had a separate credit rating or credit report for their business that was separate from their personal credit. And I can't imagine that number has gone up, because I don't think anything's changed in the culture or the awareness.
It's a shame that our high school kids aren't being taught this more, or even in college these days.
Well, I have a lot of clients that have MBAs, and they don't know this.
Oh, my goodness.
And my business banker that I was telling you about earlier, she didn't know most of this either. We figured it out together.
Wow.
And she was a manager of a region for business. I won't tell you which bank she worked for, but she was in charge of, I think, like 8 or 10 branches. And she oversaw the business department of all of those branches. And she was a guru in business banking. Like, she was on top of her stuff.
Right.
And when I was sharing with her the things I was learning, she was like, we got to double check that. I've never heard that before.
Right.
And
so had she not worked with as many entrepreneurs, maybe? She was working with?
She had.
Oh.
But when you go to your bank to get a loan, they want you to give a personal guarantee, and they do a personal credit check.
Yes, I know.
They don't do unsecured business lending. They don't check your business credit.
Okay.
So it's very hard to get an unsecured loan from your bank, because by default, like I said earlier, the financial industry in the United States, they focus on your personal credit. That's the whole industry revolves around that. They're checking your TransUnion, your Experian, your FICO score.
Well, and for some – well, especially women, some women that are, they may, well, in my situation, I've been married for 31 years and decided to spend a lot more of my time with my children, so I don't necessarily have a career. And then we got to a point where we just wanted to do, we didn't like credit. We wanted to just do cash only. And people hate it. I mean, you get no help. I mean, I have a zero credit rating.
Okay.
My husband has credit,
well,
because we have a house.
But
so,
you have a business.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you a silly question. Do you like IKEA?
Do I like IKEA?
Do you like putting IKEA furniture together?
No, my husband.
No. if we asked your husband if he likes putting IKEA furniture together,
he would say no.
No one does.
Right.
No one does. Because they give you that little Allen wrench, you know?
Yes.
And maybe a screwdriver.
And 100,000 parts.
Yeah, and you're on your own.
Yeah.
But imagine trying to put together a bunch of IKEA furniture and you've just got that tiny little screwdriver.
Right.
But this whole time, behind you in your toolbox, you have this power drill. And it would make your life a whole lot easier. You put those desks or that bunk bed or whatever together 10 times faster.
Right.
But you're not using it because you don't know about it. But it's there. It's in your toolbox because your business, you got it.
That's why I want to come to the seminar.
Yeah. Business credit is not something that you qualify for. As a business owner, it's something you're entitled to.
Wow.
So
okay.
You just have to know how to do it, how to use it. And there is a process. You can't accidentally do it. Like with your personal credit, when you turn 18, you do get a FICO score.
Okay.
And you might be able to get better personal credit or damage personal credit through your life. But you have it. You do have a credit score. It might be bad. It might be real bad, but you've got it. But with business credit, you can actually have a business and be in business for 10 or 20 or 50 years. You could never get business credit because you didn't follow the initial steps to structure it and set it up.
Wow. Okay. And that's where you start with the Dun & Bradstreet. That's where you start with the Emory Advisory Group. So you can show us the steps.
Right.
And we're not stumbling as an entrepreneur and, you know,
right. Well,
you're the experts in that field so that I can be the expert at doing the festivals. So
yeah, most entrepreneurs don't spend the time that I spent to learn how to credit before
right.
they start their business.
No,
or,
they're just getting
or
excited.
A number of other things. Like
right.
a lot of entrepreneurs that I speak with they didn't go to accounting school, for example.
Right.
They just want to do whatever they do. They like to, you know, sell scarves on Etsy or whatever else they do. But they're not accountants. They're not bookkeepers. They're not great at marketing, and they're not bankers, and they don't know a lot about credit.
Right.
But that's okay.
But when you're learning, once again, going to the seminars, if you're looking at the course that you offer, what the entrepreneurs need to understand is that's an investment in your future, not just, you know, another class. You know what I'm trying to say?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I do want to be clear, though. You know, entrepreneurs, if you're like me, you know, the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning is you check your email when you wake up because you're looking for trouble because you know something went wrong while you were asleep.
Obstacle.
Yeah.
Another obstacle.
So they've got a lot to do.
Yeah.
And so the information that I provide people, it needs to be understood that you could take the time to do this on your own. I don't think, you know, it's beyond your capabilities.
Right.
But it's the time. You know, you could do this on your own. It would take you a long time, probably years, because it took me years to really master.
So you drilled it down into something that you could learn. And I don't know, what's your website say? 10 weeks?
Oh, no, we've got a whole bunch of programs.
Oh, cool.
It depends on where you're at.
Right.
Now, building business credit, you can't do it in 10 weeks.
No. I mean, learning how it's best to be done.
But the good news is it is a lot easier and quicker than, say, repairing your personal credit, for example.
Okay.
If you have bad personal credit, it takes years to really, you know, dig yourself out of that hole. But you can establish and build business credit in as little as 3 months.
Well, that's exciting because I know of some entrepreneurs, and for example, DJ's Homemade Salsa, I don't think he'll mind if you use him. He on Facebook put a picture of the back end of his car with $6,000 of salsa, and that was DJ,
mm-hmm.
and all of his products. And so he had to invest that money in his products so that he could sell. Because a lot of people don't understand small businesses. I mean, they're putting out a lot of capital so they can resell it.
Let me give you an example of what you just said. I have a great example. One of my very first clients was a roofer in New Mexico named Peter. And he had an independent roofer working for himself for years. And he was kind of capped out and making the money he wanted to make. And he knew that he was at a plateau. And he wanted to make more. And so we talked with him for a number of months and came up with a game plan. He had horrible credit. He had no business credit. Didn't even know what it was. Kind of one of those guys that we're talking about where, you know, he just knows how to throw a roof on a building. He's
right.
good at it, but he doesn't do his own taxes. He doesn't understand how to balance his checkbook even.
Right.
Because he was bouncing checks when I met him. He was bouncing checks almost every month because he's the revenue in his business bank account was like a roller coaster. The money would come in, and then that money from that last month's project would immediately be invested into next month's project, and he
right.
was buying all his inventory and paying payroll for his crew, and then his bank account kind of took a dive.
Right.
You can just imagine a roller coaster up and down
and
down.
And then once somebody doesn't pay for the roof that you put on, and you're having to wait,
now you're
in trouble.
In a lurch, because now you can't afford the inventory
for the next job.
The materials for the next job. So now you're stuck. That was happening to him. That's why he was bouncing checks. And so I worked with him for a number of months. We set up his business credit, and we got lines of credit open for him so that he – oh, and the other thing, too, was that he required 50% of the cost of the project as a down payment from his clients.
Okay.
And he was competing with other larger roofing companies that didn't do that. And he asked me, you know, how do I do that? How do I get – to that point where I've got enough money in the bank to pay for this. And I said, Peter, you got to understand, those companies, they don't have money in the bank to pay for that. They're buying all that stuff on credit.
Right.
And he's like, well, how do I do that? And so that's what we worked with him to achieve. And in less than a year, we got him to that place where he had lines of credit open where he didn't have to ask for any money down. He could bid on bigger jobs.
Nice.
Because now he can
have more capital.
Yeah. You can float larger expenses.
Right.
And he just left his money in his bank account. He didn't spend it.
Right.
And we're talking tens of thousands of dollars in material every month that he was spending. He could just leave it in there, which this is a bit of an aside, a little bonus for your listeners. the number one thing, the very first thing that a lender looks at when you're applying for a business loan is the average daily balance in your business bank account.
Oh, okay.
So that's why they ask you for 5 or 6 months of statements. They calculate the money that's in your bank account every day and then determine the average balance. And the average balance it's like the curb appeal of your business. It's the first thing you notice. And so if your bank account is a roller coaster and one day all the money comes in, it's immediately spent, your average balance is very low.
Right.
But if you leave the money in your bank account and it sits there longer, your average balance goes up and it makes you look more established, more liable.
Oh, that's very good to know.
Yeah. Anyway, back to Peter. Okay. Peter, he was able to get bigger jobs. He could now do two jobs at the same time. So he worked with us for about 9 or 10 months. And the first year that he was with us, he doubled his revenue.
Nice.
So business credit is not just about going into debt and getting a loan. Because I know that someone's probably listening to this right now and they hear credit and they think, I don't want to get a loan. I don't go into debt. You know, debt's bad.
Right.
If you have to be able to pay your bills on time for any of this to work. You know, I never advocate someone to go into debt and bite off more than they can chew. That's not what this is about at all. Please hear, that's not what I'm saying.
Right.
But being able to have a reservoir of cash available for your business to cover $6,000 worth of
salsa.
Salsa, yeah.
It's really good salsa.
And you don't take that money out of your bank account.
Right.
Is that peace of mind?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So because you've got that money available. I'm not saying now you go blow that money on something else. I'm saying it's there.
Right.
It's waiting for you. You can pay the bills now.
And I know some families that, push off their mortgage payment so they can do something to make sure their business is going forward.
I do too.
It's kind of scary.
It's terrifying.
Yeah. So, what's going to happen, Michael, tomorrow at the seminar? Other than I saw you're going to have sandwiches.
Wine too.
About
to get interesting. Now, David's going to speak and go into depth about business credit. I'm going to talk a little bit about establishing the LLC, which is one of the requirements that should be establishing, business credit. Talk about tax implications of those things and, how I can save money. And I've started a lot of businesses when I was younger, car wash, pressure wash, all these things, and I never knew what was available to me, and I didn't until we started using and selling a product for an accounting firm. So we got a vast education, a lot of businesses not to go in, lots of fun stories that, I can think of hundreds of them, and we just laugh about, wow, what an idea, But it might have been a great idea if they would have had what we found out later by working at that other company about business credit.
Right.
That, this guy that's wants to do a record label in his garage, if he would have had $50,000 available to him, he might have done something,
Able to do it in the studio.
And we didn't know either that, hey, this is available to everybody. It's not just for Walmart or, something like that. It's like one of the stories that we heard is, Walmart, you buy these towels, and they scan thousands and thousands of towels. Well, do you think that Walmart writes a check every time the towel order comes?
No. No.
They're using their credit. They're making their money first, paying their bills second. Which,
By the way, that's the definition of positive cash flow.
Right.
Walmart, I think it's 2/3 or even more, maybe it's even 3/4 of the inventory on the shelves at Walmart. They don't pay for it until it's like it's sold. So Walmart's not losing money. They don't do what your friend did and spend $6,000 out of his own pocket to make the salsa and stock it on their shelves.
Right.
They don't do that. They wait until they've already sold the salsa. And then
they pay the vendor.
Yeah. That's cash flow. And the one thing that Mike and I have learned over the years is that cash is not king. Cash flow is king. You can make all the money in the world, but if that money's already spent, it doesn't matter. You've got to have positive cash flow.
He probably knows how long it's going to take him to sell $6,000 worth of salsa. He probably already knows that because he's probably done this a few times. So.
Yeah, I mean, he's in some stores, and then he's he also does events.
So
now you can have
kind
a bad event.
We're charging him the interest for 6 months. He'd be breathing a lot easier right now. And that's what we want to educate people on. And also, another guest, Kim Schneider, is going to talk about SBA loans. She's an expert on how to get them, how to obtain them, and help people get them, which kind of like David's products. It's going to help people, you know, if that's something they want to investigate, skip a lot of steps and go through quickly instead of years in frustration. I'm sure all your listeners have applied for them. And do you have time to reapply? That's what happens. Then, you know, you finally give up. It's like,
I was told that the SBA didn't loan it.
The SBA doesn't loan anything. They guarantee loans.
Oh, gotcha.
So they're almost like an insurance policy on the loan. Okay. They put strict rules on the banks for what they're allowed to do, the types of loan products they're allowed to insure.
So he was right that the SBA doesn't loan money. They guarantee
right.
it.
Right. But they also manage the rates. So
okay.
they're very appealing. SBA loans are rates. They're very appealing. That's why people go after them. But to get an SBA loan, you've got to be almost perfect. Not just your credit, but also your financials, every item of paperwork. It's almost like getting the background check for top secret clearance.
Oh, my goodness.
They look into everything. And you have to be perfect. And so Kim, who's going to be speaking at our event tomorrow, has streamlined this process. And she services the loans. She submits the paperwork. And she knows what she's about. And she's got some top tips that she's going to be sharing with people tomorrow, and it will definitely be worth their time to be there if they ever think that they would ever work with the SBA at all.
So what I'll do, because we are on Shop Local for Good Live, excuse me, I'll put the link to your event in the comments when we get home, and then I've invited a lot of my vendors to be there, because I think it'll be really empowering for them, just especially to get that.
We're going to continue to grow that, you know, and hopefully with your help, I mean, we're going to continue just like you, help a lot of people. I mean, because that's part of the reason we do what we do. It's, you know, I don't know if it's really yet. I haven't talked to him like that. I mean, I'm not. So, you know, let's help each other, you know, do things, you know, because I probably need what they have and they need, you know, we have too. So.
Oh, we can all learn from each other, definitely.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm really connecting with you, is because I think I have this attitude. I know how much money, for example, that I've spent on Facebook boosting, and I know because I like to do test and learn to see what works, and then they change on you.
Change the algorithm.
Yeah.
And then all the things you learn doesn't matter anymore.
Right. But on the other hand, I came from grassroots activism, community activism. So I know the power of walking out to somebody's door and having a conversation with them, which a lot of people do these days. They're all online or hanging a door hanger on their door, and instead of them getting something in the mail, that I have a garbage can right by my door. I walk in and half of it goes in the garbage. And, you know, so people that are trying to sell products or, for example, you know, oh, do this postcard for your event. No, I'd rather have somebody hanging on the door, because it's when you're coming in the door, you have to take it off the door, and you're going to look at it, and it's not in your mailbox near it. Anyway, so it's basically teaching people those things that I know work because I've done it before. Mm-hmm. It's like you taking 2 years to learn how the system works, except it's not going to change.
That's one of the best things about this, is that it almost doesn't matter what industry you're in.
Right.
It doesn't matter how long you've been in business.
Credit is credit.
And it's the process of doing it is repeatable. It's a formula. It's not something that's going to change or doesn't, you know, the steps that Mike has to take are not different from the steps that you have to take or the steps that I have to take. You take the same steps as everybody else. It doesn't matter if you're a food truck or a daycare center or a plumber,
right,
or a general contractor, or, you know, a private security.
Or a cosmetologist.
A cosmetologist.
Truck driver.
Or a truck driver.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. All those businesses have money going out, and it's how much they have coming in. Let's use credit to what stuff's coming in.
Right.
Or we know it's going to come in later. Let's invest this amount now because we know we're going to double that if we do now.
Right. I speak with a lot of people who tell me, because we also do directing. I'm not a lender. I have a network of lenders that give clients preferred rates, actually, because I do a lot of volume.
Right.
And when I'm working with clients that are interested in direct lending, you would not believe how many people say to me, David, you know, I don't understand why someone won't give me the money. You know, these banks won't give me any money. Don't they know that if I just had that amount of dollars, I could turn $10,000 into $100,000. I could turn $100,000 into $1 million, you know, in 6 months or a year or whatever. And sometimes that's true.
Right.
Sometimes people really do that. Like I've helped people get them $20,000 or $30,000 and they turn it into $500,000.
Wow, that's neat. That has to be exciting.
It's exciting. And imagine knowing that was true. Imagine you're in your business and you know it's not a guess. They're not just saying it to get a loan. You know down in your heart, if I just had a little bit of capital right now, I could turn around and I could make 10 times or 100 times the investment back.
Right.
But no one will lend me the money.
That would be maddening.
And that opportunity, there's time decay on that.
Right.
There's a deadline. And I've got, you know, a month or 6 months to get this done. Whatever it is, it's kind of heartbreaking, you know, when people lose that opportunity.
Right.
It happens all the time.
I bet. And it's all because of they don't know what's available or what their power is. What they can empower themselves with.
Right. Yeah. Or they've just made too many mistakes. That does happen too. I've worked with clients where I've had to tell them, you know what, we've got to design a company and start over.
Oh, okay.
It's rare, but I have made that recommendation to a number of people where I've just said, look, you tried to do things your way. You didn't really know what you were doing, and it's gone too far.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't turn this around in any reasonable amount of time. We could fix it, but it would take years. Why don't we just start over and dissolve the company and start from scratch, and we can just do it in 3 to 6 months.
Wow. Now, you're based in Tampa?
Yeah, our office is in Largo.
Oh, cool. I love it when people use the actual city. Because I'm a second-generation native of St. Petersburg.
Okay.
And when I travel, people are always like, oh, you're from Tampa Bay. I'm like, ah. No, I really live in Clearwater. Where's that? Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
So
you were telling me, I want to get a little bit of, now, Michael, are you from around here?
I've been in Clearwater for 22 years.
Nice.
So I grew up.
I've seen it grow. I've seen it stupid mistakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like direct traffic away from the downtown. Okay, we're not going to get into that. So we do have some events coming up I do want to mention. Last Friday is this Friday. And then I'm putting vendors and food trucks that will be on the 600 block of Cleveland Street. And then they're having the craft beer festival on Saturday. Yes, that's going to be on the 600 block too.
Oh.
And you should be open that day. Because you'd be handing out stuff.
Sure.
But, and then I actually went on a road trip today because I was, and you know, my husband learned this when I was first married to him. Don't tell me I can't do something. And I had a city tell me that I can do something. And so I found another place to do that something. The Summerfest for Good Burger Battle Royal is our festival coming up. We are going to move back to July 20th, and but you're going to have to wait on announcement of where it's going to be. But I'll give you a hint, it's going to be in Pasco County. And if you're a Facebook friend of mine, you can probably tell where I went today, where it's going to be. It's going to be fantastic. I decided this week to go to the Guinness World Record of the largest ball pit. That festival, and they're going to have Championship Wrestling will be there, and the Full Throttle Magazine is going to have a classic show. A lot of fun. Lots of food trucks, music, and really like Pasco County. It reminds me of Pinellas when I was a kid. There's actually grass in the trees. We're driving around like, oh, wow.
Yeah. I know Pasco County.
Well, the park is beautiful. Then we went to another park that we're going to have the annual Macaroni and Cheese Fall Festival. So that's going to be October 19th. So those are the two festivals.
That's also really fun.
Yeah.
And it's fun for me there.
Mac and cheese.
All of them.
Well, the trucks are going to, for Burger Battle Royal, they're going to be competing. My business partner got a championship. So they're going to be competing for the best burger in Tampa Bay. And then we're going to have some bands competing too, and raising money for Kids Campaign. They're a nonprofit that focuses on volunteerism, and they also raise money for families that have children with pediatric cancer. Mm-hmm. I've worked with them. They're all volunteer local nonprofits. They've helped families in Tampa Bay and even elsewhere. And then we met with another charity today. I'm going to bring in underneath the Benevolution Foundation wing. And they're called Miracles Schools. And it's at a community center up in Pasco. And so we talked with her. We're going to be raising money for them at the Star Fest Guide. So
awesome. That's
what we do.
Hey, really quick.
Yes.
Profits can get business credit too.
Say what?
Nonprofits get business credit. Because as a nonprofit, it's kind of hard to get a loan. Would you agree?
Yes, because we're a nonprofit.
Well, one of the great things about business credit is you can get approved for store accounts and vendor accounts and even credit cards like Visa and MasterCard, American Express.
Wow.
Without any financials or credit checks. It's an algorithm. You know, when you apply online for these things, it's a computer that approves you or declines you. It's not a person.
Okay.
And they don't care if you're a nonprofit, as long as you meet the criteria, you get approved.
Because so, you're using your EIN for your nonprofit.
Exactly.
Wow.
So it's not business credit for a nonprofit. It's not so good at getting a loan because they're going to do X on the nonprofit, and there's a lot of rules.
Right.
A lot of red tape. But for things like credit cards or store accounts or vendor accounts or other types of lines of credit like that, it's perfect for a nonprofit. It gives you a little flexibility.
Yeah, nice because time. What people don't understand is it takes money to raise money.
Yep.
It really does. As a nonprofit.
Nonprofits have expenses too.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can, it would be too.
So that would be the line of credit if you're going to have a fundraising event. And you need to pay for the food and whatever. And so you have that line of credit. And then when everybody buys their tickets, you pay that line of credit.
I work with a lot of nonprofits, and their biggest dream is to just get a Visa card or American Express or something to still, even for pay cash.
Right.
You know? Because their nonprofits have capital issues too.
Well, I think what I'd like to do, because we're at a ring right now, everybody. We're in a podcast room. I've taken it over until they get their equipment in here. And they're really great. But they have that conference room upstairs. And Thursday, I'm having an open house where people can come in and meet the Shop Local for Good team. Oh, and one of my food trucks is going to be behind Bake America. Renegade Burger is going to be there on Thursday from 4 o'clock to 6. So if you want dinner, I highly recommend their burgers. Right, Lorena?
Yeah.
He's also my business partner. So, but, well, we've got 10 minutes to go. Michael,
yeah. How
did you get started in this business?
I applied for a job. And I've always liked startup businesses. So I was attracted to all the jobs that I ever had that I really liked was helping somebody build something.
Oh, I like that.
So they've been the most rewarding for me, and I'm a sucker for somebody who goes, man, I really need some help to do this and this and this. And kind of like where Dave and I started. Somebody gave us a script and said, here it is, but we had to figure out how to make the company work. That's what I like to do, is figure out, hey, how does it work? How can we, you know, obviously feed our families and have a good time, you know, doing it and
right.
helping other people. I mean, you can't beat it, you know, and that's what I've been doing. And I've worked for, I don't know, probably 5 startup companies. My short lifespan here. And hopefully many more.
And even work for me.
Right.
For I mean, 2 months.
Today.
I'm sorry, because I
can't
do it on my
own.
You know, I've been a sucker to help people, you know, and really see, you know, people that want to do something with what they have, which, you know, that's what we run into a lot. And when we talk to people, is you really can tell that they really want this to work. You know, it's not a hobby, it's a passion, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You see that. And then
that's why I love being around entrepreneurs.
The reward is we get to make a little money along the way and see those, you know, success stories. And, you know, what happens with those success stories in today's business is, you know, we have a success story and they tell their friends and so on.
Oh, yeah.
So it really works out. So check out David's website, MarriottBuyerGroup.com, and like him on Facebook. And you can find your event tickets at Marriott Advisory Group on Facebook.
Yes, and we will definitely share that.
We talked about success stories really quick. I think I wasn't planning on doing this, but I'll print off some stuff tomorrow for those who are going to be there. When I first started, I had my clients scan and email me their approval letters for their credit cards.
Uh-huh.
So I've got a stack like 40 or 50 of these credit card approvals that I can bring in to show that, you know, it does work. And you'll see that these limits aren't not small. Like when you apply.
Yeah, because when you say $350,000, you know that what that sounds like to me? Like a million. Because I'm like, man, if I just had $20,000, let me tell you what I could do with it.
You know, when you use your social security number to apply for a credit card online,
right.
The average approval limit in the United States right now is $3,300.
Wow.
$3,300.
Mm-hmm.
With business credit, the average approval limit is $15,000.
Okay.
So it's a big difference. It's about 5 times larger limits to begin with.
Right.
But then it's not unheard of to see limits upwards of $30,000 or $40,000 or $50,000 as well. Which is something you can't do with personal credit. It's pretty hard to get a Visa card with $50,000 limit.
Right.
But when you're in business, those are the dollar figures that they're used to dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Your personal credit is really just a tool for going into debt.
Right.
That's you know, it might be good at like a mortgage, you know, or it might be dumb like a sports car. But that's really all your personal credit is good for. It's so that you can go into debt. And the lenders know that. And so their appetite for risk is pretty small. And
right.
So they don't give you a Visa card with $50,000 on it. But when you're in business, they know that you're going to use that money to make money. It's not a tool
right.
for going into debt. It's a tool for making money. So the limits are a lot higher, sometimes 50 times higher when it comes to lending.
I'm really looking forward to the seminar tomorrow. I do have a quick question to ask you. And you don't have to answer it if you want to. Do you remember what your first job was and how old you were? First time you actually did something to earn money. And your parents don't count.
Yeah, I was in a skating rink because they would hire me when I was 14 and pay me cash.
Awesome.
And I worked there for a couple of years.
Did you ever mow the lawn, like in the summer, for your neighbors?
No, I don't like the heat. That
no, there you go.
No. Then I did get into a landscape company, you know, later on. But first,
I tried one. I didn't last for a week.
Yeah.
My first time, I sold Grit magazine. I don't know if you know that. When I was about 10.
What was Grit?
It's a newspaper that I would buy them for a lower price, and they'd ship them to me, and then I would go around to my neighbors when I was a kid and sell Grit magazine. You have to look it up. They're online now. What was your first experience?
My first job was actually driving a forklift at a lumberyard.
2017. Wow, okay. My husband started the roofing industry and he's now in sheet metal or tire roofing. It just fascinates me on how people, like I would mow lawns with my brother because my father would give us Kmart money for our school clothes, and then we would want to buy the Jordache jeans, so we'd have to earn it through the store. This is how my dad was. Buy the name again things. So that's kind of how, right? Work for it. But it's been a pleasure for you guys, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Yeah. And I definitely will share the event and on the Facebook Live. Great. And we'll have you guys come back and maybe do a specific smaller show, like a 30-minute educational. And then I'd like to see if we could maybe have you speak at a seminar coming up next year. Okay. Thank you so much. Everybody, start a watch party. This is Shop Local for Good News. I'm Karina Morgan. Did you already stop it? Karina's behind the camera. This is David Avery and Michael Berger with the Emory Advisory Group. Now you're on. And we have a special guest, too.
Kim Schneider.
Kim's going to be speaking tomorrow night. She's our SPA. Oh,
you are the SPA. We might have spoken. It's warm in here.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry.
I think they turned the AC off on us.
All right.
I'm going to take a look at this thing because I think you could do some, but I can't. No, you can't.
We'll get it right. We'll put together some like little seminars if you want.
Yeah, definitely. We're definitely going to do more events. And I know you have a networking group and really interested in, I'm right down the street.
Yeah.
And, we can.
Stone's throw.
We want to do, several things a month.
Okay.
Start getting people in the community involved with, trying to help them and, spread the word, help each other. So.
Sounds good.
Yeah, and you found out, I've got a 7-hour course, so if you want to do it,
yes,
pick a topic.
Okay.
And we'll do it.
Sounds good. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah,
we're going out right now. Okay. I'm sorry it's so warm here.
It's just getting me geared up for a cold beer.
Oh, there you go.
Thank you so much.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, perfect. Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. That was fun.
It was fun.